Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Manscaped is here with a deal you cannot pass over for this Easter season. They've got all the tools to give you the beautifully decorated eggs of your dreams. Just because it's Easter doesn't mean you have to go and hide those bad boys behind the tall grass. So make sure your downstairs lawn is mowed. Get yourself feeling as sweet as candy by going to manscaped.com and getting 20% off plus free shipping with promo code Bubba. It's time to put all your eggs into the perfect basket with the Performance Package 4.0 by Manscaped. Inside this ball care buddy basket, you're going to find the Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, Weed Whacker 2.0 ear and nose hair trimmer, Crop Preserver ball deodorant, Crop Reviver ball toner, Performance boxer briefs and a travel bag, all to hold your goodies. I'm talking the Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer. It's the elite electric trimmer that has all the proprietary advanced skin-safe technology that is designed to trim your hair on loose skin. Don't forget about the Weed Whacker 2.0, the Crop Preserver, the Ball Deodorant, the Crop Reviver, and Ball Toner. April is Easter, and it's all about the Testicular Cancer Awareness Month. Manscaped has partnered with the Testicular Cancer Society to bring awareness to testicular cancer, men's health, and early cancer detection. Manscaped is committed in raising awareness for the most common form of cancer, men aged 15 to 35, by giving support to the fighters, survivors, and families impacted by testicular cancer as a part of the We Save the Balls initiative. Get 20% off and free shipping with promo code Bubba at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping with the code Bubba at manscaped.com. Hop into the best deal of the year with manscaped.com, promo code Bubba.
Hello and welcome. Just getting adjusted here. Welcome if you're listening on the Rumbles, on YouTube, on Kick, the latest addition to our operation. I think we got, what do we got, Blitz? 5 listeners on Kick? 10,000?
Something like that, sure.
Yeah, okay. Hey, however you're following us, listening to us, doesn't really matter as long as you're in contact with the show. We very much appreciate it. We got a lot going on this weekend. We got the Tarpons game tonight. Everybody knows that I'm a big baseball mark. I love sports. I love the balls and the catching. And listen, I get the appeal of a baseball game because much like everyone that goes to baseball games, and I've been to a few, no one watches the game, and that's what I'm all about.
You know, yeah, I mean? I'm going there for the food.
Yeah, yeah. So you can go for the food, the drinks, the vibes. It should be a pretty good night, right, in terms of weather. Like, it's not going to be...
It's going to be a little warm, but, like, it's going to be nice.
No raining in the forecast,
no,
really?
No,
okay,
no.
So it's not going to get rained out. Come hang, come chill. We'll probably be getting there around... let's say we're going to get there at 6, which means in Jewish standard time, we'll get there at 6:30. And
yeah.
The game starts, I believe, at 7 or kickoff.
I think 6:30.
Whatever. The first pitch will be at 6:30. So I know that we got at least probably, what do we rattle off? Like 20 people at least that have bought tickets. I've reposted some stuff on Instagram about people who are like, hey, I just bought my tickets. I'm like, fuck yeah, tag us. I'll repost you. It's going to be a good night tonight. Don't know how many calls I'll be taking. Maybe a few. 813-90-BUBBA if you'd like to call in, if it's pertinent to the conversation. Maybe if you're not Hootie, I don't know what to tell you. I have mixed feelings about this, and let me know. You can motion to me if I shouldn't even talk about this, or if there's a problem with that. Okay, so we're good. Yeah, and it's not like I'm gonna really harp on the Hootie situation too long. It's more of just like a theme that I've noticed, not just with Hootie, but with the people around me, and it. sometimes it's shocking because here's the thing about me and about a lot of people. Usually when you make a mistake or you do something and it doesn't end well, you know, the philosophy that I've taken and that I feel like most people take if you're in the self-improvement, self-development spheres, they go, listen, everyone's going to fuck up. No one's perfect. The best thing that you can do is try to learn from your mistakes, which is something. Is your mic on? I got you on mic four. Is it?
How about now?
How about that? Perfect. Yes.
Well, so there's a light on the switch here. Where I'm at, it lights up.
And you can hear yourself? When you talk?
I can. With these headphones, I can barely hear myself ever on any show.
Oh, okay. Okay.
But here, it doesn't light up, so I never know if it's on or not.
Oh, I got you. Yeah, because I just heard you talking.
I turned it off because I was doing something real quick.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no problem. So I've noticed with people is that, at least with me, and sometimes I make the same mistake once, twice, three times. But when it's a grave mistake, when it's something that I did that really put myself at a serious disadvantage, it could have been problematic for my future, I hurt someone I cared about, whatever that may be, I really do try to take those experiences to heart and go, okay, it's a time for self-reflection. And it's often coupled with shame and guilt and all that sort of shit. But that's the beautiful thing about emotions is sometimes you're not supposed to go numb. You're not supposed to mask the emotions. You're maybe not supposed to go and get therapy because you're sad. It's your brain telling your body, hey, we're doing something wrong. Your emotions are supposed to guide your behavior. So with, you know, people like Hootie, sometimes I just get confused because I'm like, you're doing something that's making you and your family not happy and your attorney not happy. And you seem to just, there's an inability, there's a disconnect where you don't seem to be putting together your actions and your consequences and going, huh, if A equals B, maybe I should stop doing A. And that sort of behavior is really frustrating. There's people in my family that I'm not going to mention any names, but some people that are kind of like that too. And you just go, what is wrong with your brain? Why isn't it working like it should? Is it because A, you don't see there's a problem? B, you don't care? C, you're a psychopath? D, combination of all of the above? I don't know. But it seems like the theme of the week is like, and I'm going to keep this so fucking vague because I have to. But I've just noticed a lot of times when people get themselves in sometimes dangerous situations and, you know, get out on the other end unscathed, mm-hmm. You know, it's, you know what? I fall into this category as well. I just realized because when I was going through hurricane epilepsy, I really thought that I was going to learn a lesson. And a fucking year later, I was just diving right in head first. So it really is like a function of time where sometimes when you deal with something, you know, I'm going to say traumatic or significant, let's say, mm-hmm. you immediately right after the event. So I'll just use myself as the example with hurricane epilepsy. For those that don't know, I'm not going to get into it again. It was a huge PR crisis that I went to. Yeah, it was a bad hurricane. Cat six. It was outside of hurricane season. It happened early April, actually. So uncharacteristic of a Florida climate. But got into a huge PR crisis. And I really thought, I'm like, okay, I'm changing the game plan. I'm going to just err on the side of caution from here on out. But I guess it's just not in my nature. And you do. After an event like that, you do. You're scared. Even like here with Bubba when I fuck up. You know, there's kind of like this time where you're like, can I say bam, bam? Like, are we cool? Yeah. You know, and I'm the type of person where I can't just go back to normal. I know people that are like that, mm-hmm. and I admire them for that. I'm not like that. I can't go, oh, we made up? Okay. You know, if I'm having an issue with Bubba, it's like, all right, I'm going to just chill. I'm going to give him some fucking space. And then if he wants to kind of be playful and silly with me, then I'll match that energy. So, but I do know some people that can go right back to normal after everything's been resolved. I'm not one of them. But, you know, when something traumatic or significant happens where a lot of damage was done or was avoided because of luck, whatever the case may be, sometimes you err on the side of caution, you're afraid, but then you start to warm up a little bit, and then you start to realize, you know, I'm cool here, I'm gonna take another chance, and you start getting into risk-taking mode again. You forget about the event that happened, you forget about how afraid you were, and you just kind of think that maybe you also think you're kind of invincible because you're like, fuck, I got away with that, I could probably get away with it again.
Sure.
And then you make a tweet and you get fired. And so you got to just be careful. And maybe I take risks like that with my job, but I typically don't take risks like that with my life. And I know people that do. Mm. I know some people that have made bad decisions and got out unscathed. And then a couple years later, back in old habits that could lead once again to that very grave mistake, and you're just like, how do I see this pattern and you don't see this pattern?
Right.
And you know, it's one of those things where if it's at a close distance, it's okay, but when it's, you know, in your backyard, in your home, whatever, then you got to kind of like reassess, like, yo, what's going down? What's going on with this? And also just, I do want to touch on emotions for a second, because I feel like people are getting shit wrong, Blitz. People are getting shit wrong about life. And I'm here to break it down for you because I know everything.
What are we doing wrong?
What people are doing wrong, and I've had this conversation with a few people before, what people are getting wrong is that they think they're supposed to be happy all the time. So when they think that they're not happy, they go, oh, there must be something wrong with me. Let me self-medicate. Or you need to accommodate to me because I have an emotional problem, or I'm depressed, or you get the cute, you can start checking some boxes with like mental health and da-da-da and this. And mental health is certainly an issue, and you should take care of your mentals and your chickens, much like you take care of the rest of your body. But I feel like people immediately assume that when they experience any sort of negative emotion, that there's something wrong with them. And I want to tell you quite the contrary, especially if it's an acute depression. Like if your wife left you and you're sad, that means your brain's working right. If you weren't sad, Your brain's probably broken, is what I'm saying. And people just assume that they're supposed to be happy all the time. But biologically, and I'm no doctor, but, you know, I read stuff. Your brain is designed to keep you alive, to survive, and to reproduce. That is what your brain is designed to do. It doesn't really care about if you're happy. Your emotions is essentially messaging from your brain to the rest of your body about it, moderating and directing behavior. So mm-hmm. If you do something and you feel happy, your brain's trying to tell your body more of this. This is good. We feel good about what we're doing. So if you accomplish something, or, you know, yeah, you have a child or whatever, you connect with, you make a new friend, you get a bonus at work, whatever the case is, you feel happy, your brain's telling your body more of this. When you feel sad, it's really the opposite. It's like, let's redirect the car, let's make a hard right and get us out of this ditch, much like I did with the team of Mexicans on Monday night. Let's get out of this. Anger is an emotion used to not reconcile. It's supposed to recalibrate like something that's gone wrong. So essentially, if you think something is unfair, you get angry because you're like, no, we need to recalibrate this exchange so that the outcome is now fair, because you're calibrating it as unfair. I need to get angry so that the person or people involved see this anger and they know that they need to change their behavior mm-hmm. so that we can recalibrate this this equation here so that it's fair. Because that's really what anger is all about, is you're like, I feel like I've been unfairly treated for some whatever reason. So, you know, not to brush mental health under the rug by any means, because it's certainly important, but also just be aware that when you're sad, I feel 60 emotions a day in an hour. Like, I'll be super happy and then sad and then mad. Yeah. Yeah. Almost one a minute, I would say. 60 an hour. Every minute it changes. It certainly does, where I'm relaxed, I'm stressed, I can get a text from Bubba and be elated or sad or afraid or mad or whatever the case may be. Everything is transient. And it's one of those like bittersweet things, Big Head Todd and the Monsters.
Yeah.
It's one of those bittersweet things where, you know, in your sad moments, you're so happy that things are transient, because you're like, this too shall pass. I think that's a Jesus quote or something. This too shall pass. But even in your happy moments, you also know it's going to pass as well. So it's like, savor the good moments and just also know that you're going to get through the bad moments, and stop trying to, and this I'm not telling you, I'm also talking to myself, but, you know, try not to latch on to the emotions. Just kind of witness their presence and try to see what they're trying to tell you. Like, okay, I'm mad about this, or I'm sad about this, and it's because X, Y, or Z happened. So let me try to problem solve to avoid this in the future. And that is what I think a healthy brain does. It doesn't come easy. It often comes with a lot of time and wisdom under your belt, because, you know, when you're young, you do dumb shit, and you do dumb shit a lot. But what you should be doing is just kind of tallying all the dumb shit you do and just try not to make repeat mistakes. Like, for instance, when I was in Detroit and I was getting fired like every other fucking week, I didn't understand. I was trying to draw a common thread because I kept getting fired for different shit. You know, I would get fired for stealing produce, and then I would get fired for telling a customer to fuck off. And I'm like, listen, I'm not repeating any of these things. Yeah, but
I'm doing different stuff.
I'm changing course, but for some reason I keep getting caught in that arm bar and I don't understand why. And then I think I remember it was after I got fired from Embassy Suites in Detroit. It was in Southfield, Michigan. And I was driving home, and it was a cold winter night because Detroit and fuck that place. But I was about to spin out in Gary, my horrible car. And I was like, why does this keep happening? Like, and I had been fired from some other place. And I think it was, I don't know, disorderly conduct. Who knows? I don't even remember. But I was like, what is the common thread here? And I was like, do I think that I'm above the law? Like, do I think I'm just like, I can do whatever the fuck I want? Am I? Because that's kind of like a...
And then you said yes, and then what happened?
Yeah, then he spun out. And then I'm like, why do I just think I can get away with stuff? And, you know, to be honest, it's one of those things kind of like we talked about where you get a little too comfortable. I think that's what it was. Mm-hmm. You get a little too comfortable, and you notice other people doing shit. But listen, everyone cuts their own deal. You don't know if the manager's fucking the other bartender and she can do whatever she wants, because that's happened with me too. I'm like, oh, well, Nancy's doing it, so mm-hmm. I can do it. And I'm like running my mouth, and they're like, bitch.
Or like if Brian from Philly gives us $20 super chat.
Oh, thanks, Brian from Philly. Appreciate you. How's the intermittent fasting going? I hope well. Yeah, so it just kind of, it was a moment in self-reflection, and I think self-reflection is a dying art. I don't think a lot of people reflect on what they do. I think everybody just wants to... The default is to blame everybody else. But also, which is interesting, and I hear people say all the time, is they claim, you know, I'm not perfect. But then they never admit to being wrong. I'm like, how can those two things coexist if you're never admitting to being wrong, but also you're not perfect and you make mistakes, but you're never willing to call out your own mistakes? Well, let me tell you, like, it really takes away the pack of the punch when you call yourself out, because then, you know, it's like it takes the wind out of people's sails. I used to do that even in elementary school. When people make fun of me for like buck teeth, I'm like, what? Because you got buck teeth? And they're just like, fuck. Yes. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, because I play the fucking French horn, you fucking piece of shit. Whoa. They're like, yeah, yeah. Okay, we're done. So
did you say, are you happy you're fucking me now?
Are you happy you're fucking me now? You piece of shit. Yeah. French hard was a rough time. You know, most people get rebellious when they're a teenager and or a preteen, and they want to, like, you know, go out with boys or stay out late at night with friends. I was told that I should probably play a smaller instrument, and I said, fuck you. I said, fuck the system. I'm going to do what I want to do. And initially, I told my mom I was going to play the tuba because they wanted me to play a smaller instrument because, like, it was more manageable. They were like, why don't you play the clarinet like a normal fucking person?
Right.
Maybe the flute. They're like, my dad was like, Anna, the saxophone is such a cool instrument. You could be Kenny G. You could be Anna H. And I was like, I'm going to play the tuba. And my dad was like, you are a fucking... I can't say what he said because you can't say it on stuff because people get upset. But my dad, you know, he was not a fan of that. He was like, that's not the move.
Did he call you a piece of shit?
You piece of shit. No, it was, I think it was more accompanied by like an eye roll and like, all right, fuck, if this is how you want to be rebellious and play the tuba. And then I was trying to negotiate with my parents. They're like, Anna, you're not going to play the, my mom was like, Anna, the tuba is bigger than you are. So you're not playing the fucking tuba. And I said, fine. How about, what was it? It was called, not the bar, it was a, it's just called the baritone?
Sax.
No, not, it wasn't a sax. It was a brass instrument, but it was like a smaller version of the tuba. Feel free to weigh in. I think it's just called like the baritone tuba. I don't know. It's like a smaller version of the tuba. And my parents said, no. And then I said, well, what about the French horn? And they said, what the fuck is that? And I go, it's a brass instrument. You fist it. My mom's like, oh, crap.
Is a baritone or a euphonium? Euphonium.
Yeah, I think it was just called the baritone, but yes. They sat by the tuba people, and it was just a huge instrument, but not quite as big as the tuba. So
the baritone or the euphonium is a small tuba.
Yeah, exactly, precisely. So I wanted to do that. They said no. My dad's like, "What about the trumpet? Like anything but that? Anything but what you want to do?" I said no. So that was really me sticking it to the man. That was how I was rebellious. Most people would drink alcohol or smoke weed like the cool kids, but I wasn't cool. And it's funny, it's not to keep using the bittersweet, but maybe juxtaposition, because we haven't heard that word in
a
while.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
But,
that was
a
common one.
It's funny because, like, I hear about what Dan is going through with Sophia. And if you don't know Sophia, she's beautiful. She's stunning. She's, like, tall, thin. Like, she could easily do modeling tomorrow.
Sure.
And I just think about the juxtaposition of what my parents went through. Because I, too, once was 15, and no one was worried. No one was worried. My parents thought that I was, like, sexually confused. They thought I might be gay. Not that there's anything wrong with that. But, you know, I feel like when you're gay, like I am not, but I assume when you're gay, you're probably, like, a little bit, like, delayed in terms of exposure sexually with... Because you're trying to figure out your own shit. Maybe not always.
Not as much anymore, but yes.
Yeah, like when I was growing up.
For sure.
If you're gay, you're probably not going to have your first sexual experience. And again, I'm speaking completely in averages. But probably not till college or college age. Because you're just like, am I gay? Do I just like musical theater?
Right.
Am I just a big fan of flannel? Like, you're just trying to figure your shit out because you're feeling like I'm not default. I'm not heterosexual, so, like, what am I? And then maybe you try to, like, force heterosexuality on yourself, and you're like, this isn't working out. I know Tim Dillon would talk about it. He, like, made out with this, like, gross girl in high school because he's like, I just thought I was supposed to like girls. So, anyways, I was delayed for other reasons. But, yeah, we've talked about it before. My parents thought I was gay. I was kind of had, like a butch quality to me. I
you
was
had a
like,
girlfriend.
I had a girlfriend. I was sucking on titties. No, I. What was I gonna say? I was like, I couldn't even call myself a tomboy because I wasn't good at sports. Like, I wish I was like that. You know, the girl with the older brothers that could like rough and tumble, and it's like she's a tomboy, but she's like it's like kind of hot.
Yeah,
you know, like where it's like I'm a soccer player, and I'm like I'm really skilled and athletic. But I was just butch with no skill. So I was just was kind of like portly.
The best.
Yeah.
Unquote, of both worlds.
Yeah, I was a tomboy with, but I wasn't that athletic. So it was just kind of like, oh, she's just gay. Oh, she's just a little on the bush end of things. But you know, you're very just confused as an adolescent. You don't know. And that's why, and we're not going to get into the whole thing with the thing, but that's why it's kind of just good to just wait. I'm a big fan of just waiting to see how things shake out, because I remember it's in sixth or seventh grade, I was very confused. I saw a girl and I identified that she was she was beautiful. And then I thought, you know, in my sixth grade head, oh, I thought a girl was pretty, I like women. Because, you know, to a kid's mind, you just think that if you're heterosexual, that you're somehow, blind to the attractiveness of the same sex. Like, mm-hmm. you're somehow, you can't identify if another chick is pretty because you're heterosexual. You only see the attractiveness of men and boys. So if I identify that a girl is attractive, I'm like, oh, I want to fuck her. Like, I was confused. My parents were like, it was just fucking waited out. They waited out, and I ended up being straight, had to come out as straight. Everyone was super surprised. It was fantastic. 813-90-BUBBA. But I have been going back in the time capsule of my brain, and I had a horrific thought yesterday in the shower. So I don't know if you remember, but I think it was towards the end of the show yesterday, I talked about the guy that was on my floor that went missing and it ended up he tried to rape somebody.
Yes.
Now, I had not thought about that guy in about 18 years. And it occurred to me that I'm almost 36 and I knew him when I was 18. And that was half my life ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in the shower, washing my hair, and I went, ugh! Half of my life ago, I started college. I was an adult. Half of my life ago, and you just go, oh my God.
I did the same thing about a week ago. I forget now what it was, but I was like, oh, I did that. I forget what it was. And I was like, I did that. I'm trying to think of when it was. And I'm like, you know, a few years, 20 something years ago, and I was still an adult. Like, what?
Still an adult.
I was like, what? That was
20 years ago.
Yeah. That's what I said.
Half your life ago, you could still drink.
Yeah.
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 Horrifying.
Legally.
Yeah. Horrifying. So I started, I was like, I have not, and his name was, I couldn't think of his last name, but it occurred to me last night. His name was Christian Corubios, and I have not had a thought about this kid for about 18 years, but it was, he was the type of, I almost said racist. He was the type of rapist that people have nightmares about. It wasn't like he was hooking up with a girl and, you know, they were drunk and it's gray area and she doesn't remember it or regrets it later. Not saying that's good, but at least it's open for discussion as to where the lines, where the boundaries were, who crossed what. Yeah,
he was pushing girls into the hole in his basement with his dog Precious.
Motherfucker was going down the halls and trying to open doors.
Oh.
And the ones that were locked, obviously, he would just move on. Mm-hmm. But the one, he would get drunk, and the ones that were unlocked, he would just go into the room.
Nice.
And I don't know how many times he did this, but I only knew him for about, I can't imagine it was more than 2 months. But he was, his roommate was one of the nicest, friendliest, he was this Filipino guy named Ryan that would dance and sing all the time. And he was he never let stress get to him. I've known Ryan for years. Haven't talked to him in years, but he was always always had a smile on his face. That guy was roommates with Christian, who was a rapist. And Christian went, I remember one time Ryan was talking to people in the hall, and he's like, "Hey, has anyone seen Christian? Yeah, I haven't seen him." And I'm like, "Well, when's the last time you saw him?" He's like, "Oh, Thursday night he left." I'm like, "It's Sunday." He goes, "Yeah." He goes, "No one's heard from him. He hasn't called anyone. He hasn't texted anybody. I don't know where he is. His shit's all here. His car's in the parking lot. What happened to this kid?" He was gone for about a week, literally missing. And we told our RA, but she was a dumb drunk whore too. She was only a year older than us, and she was fucking all the guys on the floor. I'm not bitter. It's not like she fucked anybody that I was interested in. She did.
We call that a hero.
Yeah. She didn't do jack shit, so nobody knew what happened to this guy. And I remember distinctly we were in the like hub area of our floor. And it was, I went to UCSB, and I mean, we're talking about, there were probably like 20,000 kids in my graduating class. So there were tons of different dorms, and we lived in these two towers mm-hmm. called Francisco Torres Towers. We called it FT North, FT South, and obviously you call them the fuck towers because there was a lot of fucking going on, not with me, but with everybody else. So, we were watching, people were watching TV, and I remember my friend Beth, she just called out to everybody from the hub, and she said, right now. And so, you know, we all come running out mm-hmm. and we see fucking Christian's face right on the TV.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And we're like, Ryan, we found him. Apparently he was going through different floors. There were, I want to say like 10 or 11 floors on each of these towers, just like packed with like thousands of kids within like a half a mile radius.
Sure.
And just going, trying to open all these doors, and got in a girl's room who had, she didn't lock her door that night, and he just got into bed with her and tried to fucking rape her. Like, the shit you have nightmares about.
Of course.
It wasn't like the girl was too drunk at the party and she was wearing the mini skirt and mm-hmm. she was in the back alley and she was asleep in her fucking bed, and her only crime was not locking her door that night. So, you know, thankfully, and I know this sounds weird, but thankfully he was like so intoxicated that he was unable to like really do a lot of damage, if that makes sense. Like, she was able to just be like, what the fuck, start screaming, and he's like, doesn't know what's going on. He was immediately arrested. And it's funny because I remember taking two of the guys on my floor to the county jail to pay him a visit. I dropped him off. I said, all right, one was named Chris, the other one was Brian. I'm like, there was only a few people with cars, so I was like in the car with like another person who had a car, and we're like, all right, well, we're going to Trader Joe's, so we'll drop you off at jail, you could say hi to Christian, say what's up, and then we'll pick you up on the way back. And they said, that sounds good.
Nice.
So, just interesting stuff about...
Did he ever get out, or do you know?
You know, I don't remember, which is so fucking sad that memories just slip away. I think he did get out and just went home. I think the school expelled him. Like, he can't be like fucking trying to rape people in the middle of the night. Like,
what?
Yeah, there was just, and he, I just remember.
Damn them and their rules.
I know. And this guy, you know, I'm not going to say much, but I will just say affirmative action, because this guy was dumb as fuck. Like, shockingly dumb. I mean, to the point where I was like, where are you from? Like, you don't speak the language very well. And he was like, West Covina. And I'm like, oh, you're from LA. So you've like lived here your whole life and you're struggling to speak the language of like, something's not right here.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, I haven't had a thought about that human being that I knew and interacted with for so long. And it was just like opened up this floodgate of like all these experiences that I had, you know, the things that were my daily life that are so foreign to me now, were part of my daily life. And part of my daily life for, you know, a good 2 months was having breakfast with Christian and a bunch of other people, because we were all in the same stupid philosophy class. So we'd get up early and have breakfast and ride our bikes over there. And then all of a sudden one day he was just gone, never to be seen again. And that's fine with me, but just, interesting. Interesting. Do you have thoughts about like people from your past? You're like, I have no idea where these people are, what they're up to. I don't follow them on Facebook, but you know, they were maybe significant, maybe not, but whatever fucking happened to
them. Every now and then. And the worst one will be like, I'll be like, oh, whatever happened to that person? What was their name?
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, I had like 10 classes in high school with them and we were really good friends and we hung out all the time. What was his name again?
Yeah. People you had like close relation, like very close relationships with, and maybe there was a falling out. Maybe they tried to rape someone and went to prison and you never saw them again, whatever the case may be. And they just kind of like, oddly enough, it was so bizarre because when I mentioned that story, I'm like, fuck, I haven't thought about that guy in like almost 20 years. I wonder whatever happened.
There was a couple people that like I hung out with growing up, and I either haven't talked to him in a while or don't anymore or whatever.
Yeah.
Oh, and I looked up one of them a couple of years ago, and I his mother and my mother are friendly, and I guess she saw him and told him that he was an author. His mom told my mom that he was an author.
Yeah.
I was like, that's cool. I'll look it up. He wrote a book on Satan and how to worship Satan, and it was like some like online book thing. I'm like, he's not an author. He's
is he a blogger?
Messed up.
Yeah, he's not okay.
No.
And you're writing about Satan.
He was writing songs on Satan is Lord and
Satan is Lord.
I was like, wow, that's nice. His mom, oh, that's my son's an author.
Yeah. Well, and may I ask a question as someone who doesn't know anything about religion but hates all of it? What's so wrong with Satan? Why can't we? What? People like devil worship. And the next question to me is like, Anne?
Right. It's not any worse than anything else.
I just don't understand. Like,
without going into details, some of the stuff that was on his YouTube, it wasn't kosher, I guess you could say.
I mean, I get it if you're like, you should, kill kids in a sacrifice to appease Satan.
Now, that I would agree with.
Fine. But, like, you know, if they're into, like, human sacrifice or shit like that, okay, fine. But, like, if you're just like, hey, I'm a Satanist, I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
And?
Oh, no, that part of it, I don't care.
What's the problem?
For the most part, people will hate on a religion. Let's take, maybe one that L. Ron Hubbard started, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And they go, those people are crazy. I'm like, well, they don't, like, they're crazy compared to what the norm is, but the norm is crazy if you think about it too. So
absolutely, and we kind of broke it down yesterday during the Easter talk.
Yeah, that was all Lummy.
Yeah,
that was his deal.
Yeah, I it was his deal, and it is funny because like you talk about it like it's fact almost. Like, oh, and then Jesus did this, and it was 3 days of this,
right?
And then when you start to really break down the story, you go, wow, that sounds insane. How could anyone believe that? I had someone tell me recently that they had to stop reading the Bible because it was making them question things more than they should. Because they're like, all the shit in here is so ridiculous that I have to stop reading the Bible.
That makes sense.
Because it's making me believe in my religion less. And I went, huh, well, that's interesting. I like that take.
Do you ever, think that back in the day, the people that were in charge of kind of writing the Bible or rewriting the Bible or whatever, they would know that like information would be so easy to find? Because you got to think, you know, back, what did Bubba say? 2,000 years ago, back when before our country was formed.
Yes.
You know?
What? Yes. Right around when America was formed. Right.
Like, they were like, these people, there's no way to Google stuff. Like, so they're never going to know this. They're just going to, this book is just going to be something that they'll all believe because they can't look up, you know, there's no research.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't think that that's even why religion gets started from the get. I think that it's at least initially started with people just trying to explain the observable universe.
Sure.
And then all of a sudden, you know, you start latching, it's the gods, and then we have to appease the gods, and then you have this morality kind of woven into it. It's weird that, like, there's elements, the same elements are kind of like in all religions where it's like a higher power deal, a ritual-based deal, a moral code deal. And it seems like those two, those things really aren't or shouldn't be related, but they seem to always, like, weave together. But yeah, you're right. It was Jesus, but it was really Jesus' PR team because I feel like they didn't write anything down for 200 years, and then they're like, maybe we should write these stories that have been telephoned for 200 years down, so, you know, maybe we can just kind of smudge on the details and no one's going to really notice.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's like, oh, it's this interpretation. It's the West Baptist Lutheran fucking with the Pentecostal kicker interpretation.
Right.
And to me, and we looked this up yesterterday, that there's 10,000, I think, religions.
Yeah.
So you got to think to yourself, like, everybody's wrong but me. I mean, that, and Ricky Gervais has a great quote about it, and he says something along the lines of, like, everybody is an atheist except for the God that they believe in. Like, you're an atheist when it comes to Roman mythology or when it comes to, being a Muslim or a Buddhist, or, you know, you don't believe in all the Hindu gods or whatever, but you think that your Christian God or your Jewish Judeo-Christian God is the one, but you're an atheist when it comes to every single other religion, and it's like, I'm that, but plus one more. That's it. That's the only difference between you and I, is like, I just also don't believe in that. So, I don't know. I feel like we're getting bamboozled like we did with the Shmovid thing, sort of a deal. Like, oh, you must submit. It's like, no, we don't. We could think freely and discuss things. And listen, if you want to believe in religion, and here's the thing. Like, I always feel like I'm such a piece of shit. And I mean, for a lot of reasons, but mainly because I like to talk about the like science and religion and how they are not compatible at all. But when you start saying that, trying to break down like why religion isn't, or why God isn't real, or whatever the case may be, or there's, I would just say that there's no evidence for God. So like, why would I believe in one? Mm-hmm. But then I also feel really bad because like, there's a lot of people that I know and care deeply about that do. And that brings them a lot of peace and a lot of fulfillment in their life. And I feel like such an asshole going, well, everything that you've centered your life around is fucking bullshit, you know. And so that's, even though I'm not trying to, you know, insult them, I feel like kind of by default I am. But then it's like, well, you're telling me what I'm thinking isn't right either. So I feel like you're just par for the course. But who knows? Who knows? I'm in the business of piss people off, and I think I'm doing pretty well. Hello, who's this?
What's up, guys? Florida Stanley.
What's up, Florida Stanley? How's it going?
I have a couple of different subjects. I called in, the back up for a minute. I called in when you were talking about, like, I wonder what happened to that person.
Yeah.
And then while you had me on hold, then you started talking about the Bible. So I'll do the Bible thing real quick, and then I'll back up. So I know you listen to JRE a lot. I'm like 2 months behind on his podcast.
Okay.
So you have to go back like 2 or 3 months, but I forget the guy's name, but it was only about 2 or 3 months ago. He had this guy on his podcast that broke the Bible down. He's like, and he's a scientist and a geologist. And he's like breaking the Bible down. He's like, he talks about, the Bible says something along the lines of there was a 2 mile high tsunami. Okay. Well, he's like, that just doesn't seem possible. Like
Huh?
2 miles. That's a big tsunami.
Yeah.
But there's a mountain.
Right.
They're finding fossils of fish.
Mm.
Yeah. Fish.
So they're finding fossils of fish in places that are 2 miles high.
Mountain range.
Okay.
Yeah. And there's like a whole bunch of it. He breaks part of the Bible down. He's like, some of this stuff is not out of the realm of possibility.
Was it Graham Hancock?
Maybe.
It probably was, because he talks about a big catastrophic, cataclysmic event that happened at the end of the last ice age and the Younger
and, like,
Dryas.
The Earth is, like,
yes,
resetting itself and the pole switch for.
Did he have
days.
An English accent?
Yes.
Okay, it's Graham Hancock.
Yeah, it was him. I've watched.
Yeah, that was a very
fucking nailed it.
Yeah. It's funny. I even knew who he was talking about.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. With two things happened with wondering what those people ended up doing. So in ninth grade, I won't tell you her last name because she still has the same last name, but I dated this chick named Jessica for probably half of ninth grade.
Okay.
She was the hottest chick in the fucking school. This girl had a zero size waist, double D tits, and in ninth grade, and was just smoking hot. I dated her halfway through ninth grade.
Yeah.
So she tracked me down a couple of years ago and hit me up on Facebook, and she was like, hey, what have you been up to? And I'm like, I clicked on her picture, and then I'm like, wait, that's not the same. Oh, dear God.
Oh, dear
it
God.
Was the same. Oh, dear
yeah.
God.
Yeah.
She had a kid, and she gained about 300 pounds.
No way.
Oh, that's my favorite story.
And, oh,
I got,
man.
I got so one like that.
And then a very similar thing happened to me all through sixth grade when I was living in Georgia. I'll say her last name because she got a different one now. I dated Karen Ward. She was the head of the cheerleading squad, and again, the hottest chick in the entire fucking
Dang,
school.
Hottest sixth grader ever.
Yeah, it sounds weird when you say it, but I understand what you're saying. Yeah.
Well, a few years ago, I was she just kind of crossed my mind. I was like, I wonder whatever happened to that chick. Like, she was the hottest chick in school, and this is right around the time that Jessica hit me up. So I'm like, I'm trying to think about, okay, well, I dated the hottest chick in school in sixth grade too. So I wonder what happened to her. So I started poking around, like, there's no way this bitch doesn't have social media, but I couldn't find her. So I'm like, all right, maybe she got married and she doesn't have the same last name. I found her sister on Facebook, and then found Karen's Instagram. Holy shit, same thing. She had a kid and gained about 300 pounds.
Well, I guess you dodged a bullet, right?
I mean,
did you break up with them? Did they break up with you? Mixed bag?
Yeah, I think Karen broke up with me, and I know I broke up with Jessica because she was a fucking psycho.
Okay. Was she a whore? Was she whoring it up?
No, she's just absolutely insane. Oh, okay. Karen, I moved out of the state. I dated Karen when I was living in Georgia, and then that was about the time that I moved to Florida.
Yeah. Okay.
So that's why that ended. But yeah, holy
shit.
Well,
it's probably good you didn't procreate with these women. Perhaps.
Well, especially when you're in sixth grade.
My hobbies are way too expensive to have a kid. I'm 34 years old and I had a vasectomy at 31. But
they let you do that?
Free vasectomies, huh?
They let you do that?
I had to pay triple.
Because the doctor, most doctors wouldn't do that. I wouldn't imagine they would, especially if you haven't had children.
I went to one doctor. He said, "You're under 35. Have you ever been married?" I said, "No." He goes, "Do you have any kids?" He goes, "All right, it's going to be triple." I'm like, "All right, that's bullshit." So I went to another doctor. He says, "You're under 35. You ever been married?" I said, "No." He goes, "Do you have any kids?" I said, "I got 3 kids." He goes, "All right, I'm going to need to see birth certificates." I'm like, "Fuck."
That's interesting. So they just charge you more? I mean, why?
A vasectomy is $600. I had to pay $1,500.
Why would they charge you? Are they just trying to deter you from doing it?
Yes.
Okay, but they'll still do it.
Some of them will.
They'll just, okay. They just charge you triple. It's not so like women. That's fucked up because if a woman doesn't have any kids, they won't tie your tubes. They no doctor will tie your tubes if you're a woman and you don't have any kids.
Okay.
But at least for men, they allow a vasectomy if you don't have any kids. But they charge me $1,500 when it's supposed to be six.
And not that it's that successful, but I think they can reverse some vasectomies, right? Like,
they're expensive and they're not easy to do.
Yeah, and they're not always successful.
Easy to do, and it's more painful than the actual vasectomy.
But you can still still produce sperm. Like, could you like curate some sperm and then just inject it? Like, it'd be a pain in the ass, but you could probably do it that way.
I believe so.
Like, just drain it from the balls and
you would just have to like extract it from the
epididymis. Yeah,
they
cauterize it
once. They cut it twice.
Yeah.
And then they cauterize it so it's separated, completely separated from each other.
Yeah.
So they have to go in and basically put in an artificial tube in place of where they cut out.
Yeah. Ugh.
But it is reversible.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. I'm not a big fan of sterilization, even though I feel like, you know, many people should be. But yeah. Yeah. But all right.
Well,
so no kids for you.
Too expensive and I don't want any kids. All right. I'll see you guys later.
I get it.
See you.
Awesome. Bye. Bye. You said you had a similar story.
Oh yeah, but a girl in high school. I knew her. I didn't date her or anything. She was like super hot, and then had.
Is this the neighbor chick?
Yes. Okay. Yes. Yeah. I've told you before.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I saw her like a couple years later. She had a kid, and like I think she was a senior, and she had a kid or something.
Okay.
And
that threw her off, even as a young kid having a kid.
Oof.
Threw her off. That can happen.
Doubled, tripled in size, maybe.
Yeah. That's like the only thing that I feel like I can't speak from experience on when I try to give people advice on shit. They're like, "Well, Anna, you haven't had a kid." It's like, yeah, but also I've seen people who have had children, and the ones that like try to get it back nice and tight usually fucking do. Like,
yeah,
usually do. I mean, I don't know, and then obviously they combat and go, "Well, that, you know, they're freaks of nature." It's like, I'm pretty sure Romina Diaco has had 2 kids. She's got a banging bod. Like, it's not a death sentence to your body. She was also younger when she had them, but nevertheless, I'm just, you know, I try to speak, but also crack some doors and windows open, because that's usually what people throw my way. Oh, well, you don't fucking, all right, well, you don't fucking know, bitch. 813-90-BUBBA. Would it be wise for, let's say, is it cool if we don't take a break?
We don't have to.
Do you want us to? Would it be easier for editing purposes?
What if I have to poop?
All right, he's got a shit. We're going to take a break. We'll be back in about whenever he's done shitting.
We'll be right back. Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Welcome back. Thank you for calling. Or calling. Thank you for holding, caller. We'll get to you in just one moment.
Thank you for calling, holder.
Exactly. First time, last time.
Tookie, tookie.
Is it... What were you saying?
I said Tookie Tookie.
Oh, Tookie Tookie. I was like, oh, is it... I thought you said it's Hootie, and I'm like, no.
I don't know who it is.
Not that guy. I don't even know if I feel bad for him today. Some days I do. Sometimes I'm angry. Sometimes I'm not angry. Sometimes I feel sorry for him. I wish I could. I always. Do you feel ever when you don't understand someone, you're like, I wish I could just kind of like crawl inside their brain for just 1 second, just to see what the fuck is going. It's like being in a different home where you're just like, oh, this is how you think about things and process. No wonder why you're such a fuck up. Like, yeah. I get it. And then you immediately like leave. And
I wonder. I do wonder how people process stuff sometimes. I'm like, how does that make any sense to you?
Right. Exactly. I'm like, man, that's how you're running through life. Just thinking, you know, X, Y, or Z. That's what you think is a good idea. Or that's like your mental capacity when it comes to problem solving. I'm like, that's piss poor. That's lackluster. That's not good. Let's take a call. Hello, who's this?
Hey, Alan and Blitz. This is Gary. How are you?
What's up, Gary?
Gary, are you okay?
I just had to stumble over my words. That's all.
Oh, okay. I was like, he's
Gary,
not
Gary,
doing well.
I have a question. What do you drink?
Alcohol-wise, you mean?
No, that too. But like on a normal day, like do you? Is it water? Like Coke? What is it?
Water, coffee.
Okay.
Soda, nice.
Why?
It was not like you were drinking something, but I don't know. I just wonder.
No. I was just
trying to learn more about you.
Yeah.
What's up, Gary?
Three things. I think your rapist buddy or friend or colleague.
Yeah, my rapist buddy. Let's call him that.
I think he was trying to copycat Ted Bundy. I was curious if that was ever brought up.
Oh, I don't think so. I don't think he was smart enough for that. Ted Bundy was pretty bright. Christian Corubios was a effing R.
With the college thing, he would hang out at the dorms and stuff.
Yeah, he was too dumb. Yeah, go ahead.
Number two, I know Florida Stanley snipes me all the time, but thank God he got himself snipped. We don't have to cover the progeny of that guy.
Right. Do you have kids, Gary? I feel like we've asked you that.
Yeah, I have three.
Oh, nice. Yeah, boys, girls, neither? Both?
Well, I have three boys.
Three boys, then, okay.
Yeah, and then back when I was 20, my then wife delivered twins too early. One lived for an hour, one lived for 10 minutes, and they were girls. So
oh, shit.
Five usually.
Okay.
But yeah, that happened.
Yeah.
And three, I want to wish you guys a great weekend.
Thank you, Gerber.
Religious or non-religious.
Yeah, yeah. It's a triple threat. And that's why so much shit's going down in the Middle East right now.
Yeah. Have Blitz look for an Easter egg in your sweet spot there.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know what the fuck that even means, but I'm going to let you go, Care Bear. Thanks.
Thanks, Gary.
Thanks, Care Bear.
Country Girl gifted 6 subs and kick.
Thank you, Country Girl, very much. Thank you and your wonderful titties that are on display. And who else has Maria Guatemala? Great, mm-hmm. great rack. I sometimes I want to share her photos because I feel like the rest of Bubba Army will appreciate
them. Country
them.
Girl earlier said that she did not get her boobs until 11th grade.
Oh, so maybe mine are still on their way.
Are you in 11th grade?
Well, I'm just saying, you know, maybe I'm a late developer and I'm gonna get tits at 42. Who knows? Maybe. Probably not. Yeah, but with Maria, I'll see some of her photos and I'll like want to share it. And then I realize her profile is private.
Yeah, I know.
So then I'm like, maybe she doesn't want people to see her tits. But then if you post them, don't you think it wouldn't you want people to? I don't know. So I was like, you know what? I'm just going to let it.
I've never even seen any of those pictures.
Yeah. Yeah. They're great. I will show them to you after the show.
Fantastic.
But yeah, as Gary referenced about, you know, the weekend, I was so grateful. My dad just got home yesterday afternoon, so I was very grateful for that because now, like, literally where he was 2 days prior in Jerusalem was getting fucking, they raided this mosque because apparently there were a bunch of worshipers / protesters in this mosque. They refused to leave. They were throwing, like, firecrackers at the Israeli troops, and so they went in and stormed the mosque, and then, you know, I think some people got hurt. I think a couple people died, and then Hamas. It's just a fucking... It's a triple threat right now in the Middle East. People are on high alert because you got a fucking Passover,
mm-hmm.
Ramadan, Easter kicker. This is game time for all three major religions on the planet right now is what's going on. And Jerusalem, if you're unfamiliar with, you know, the history of the city, has significance for all three of these religions. Like, I think certainly for the Jews, the holiest place on the planet for people of the Jewish faith is Jerusalem, the Wailing Wall.
Mm-hmm.
I believe for Muslims, it's the third most holy place after Mecca and Medina is, I think, I want to say, like, Dome of the Rock? Am I making this up?
I don't know.
Well, the Dome of the Rock, or wherever it is, this mosque that's very important to Muslims, is like right next to the Wailing Wall. And then you got all the like Jesus shit where I think we were watching yesterday in Jerusalem where they have the where Jesus was laid to rest, you know, before he was resurrected. That is all like in the same couple of square miles, maybe even closer. I know that there's like a Jewish quarter, a Muslim quarter, a Christian quarter, and I don't know if there's any more quarters or if I just forgot. But anyways, yeah, you got the triple threat. So you got a bunch of hungry people who are like, they haven't eaten during the day. Because listen, I get crabby too, especially if you're not used to intermittent fasting / Ramadan. You're just like, you can't have sex during the day. Motherfucker, they're in the desert, and did you know that they can't even drink water during the day?
Well, that's smart.
So during Ramadan, which is a full month, it's not like a day or even a week. It is a 1 month long every year for people who of the Islamic faith. And during the day, you cannot have any intimate relations with your spouse. So no sex, abstain from sex. You cannot have food. So you're intermittent fasting, but you still have to go to work. And on top of that, which I don't think is a great idea, especially when it's hot outside, you're not allowed to have any water during the day either. No water during the hot day in the desert. People are a little on edge. Not good. And then you got the Passover deal, so people are fucking trying to do their shit, those Jews. And then you got Easter, and people are there. So it's just a kind of a big mess. a big hullabaloo over there. So I was so grateful once they started. I think there were some rockets that were getting sent over from Lebanon. And I think most of them were shot down by the Iron Dome system, but a few made it over. And I'm like, I'm so glad my dad's home. He's home. He's back. He's doing his thing.
Good.
So very glad about that.
Florida Stanley, during Gary's call, sent $100 to snipe Gary.
Woo! Oh, my dad just texted me.
Good. We didn't see it right away, so it, yes, you'll get a snipe credit.
Yes. Oh, my dad's being Jewish at the Wailing Wall right there with his buddy Jack. That's so funny.
I thought he was home.
He is, but he just sent me a video. He's listening right now, most likely. So he's weighing in. Papa Homo's listening, so he will give me a synopsis after the show like he likes to do. And he goes, hey, you got this wrong about me. You got that wrong about me. And that's fine. That's fine. I appreciate it. 813-90-BUBBA. Another exciting thing that's coming up is I'll be a stripper. I'll be a pole dancer. And some of the gals.
I'm sure your dad's proud.
Right. He's listening, so he probably wants me to film in on this sort of stuff. But for those that don't know, and many of you do, Ty J's wife opened up a pole dancing studio.
Dojo.
A dojo. We'll break boards and poles. And has invited some of the Bubba Army ladies to come and take a class. And it's one of those things where it's like, I'm not a very overtly sexual person, so I've kind of stayed away from stuff like that or any sort of like heels class. I did dance growing up, but, you know, it was mostly kind of not cheer palm stuff, but, you know, not super overtly sexual stuff. A lot of tap dancing, a lot of ballet dancing, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So this is all new to me. This is all Greek to me. So I'm very excited and very grateful that, you know, Ty J has invited us to come, me and some gals. And if you weren't invited, don't be offended, because first off, the scheduling was a fucking nightmare. You know, trying to coordinate with a bunch of bitches about when, you know, who's available for what time, what day, what, you know, month was a lot. And I knew it was going to be an undertaking, but, you know, I'm the one who's on the show, so I need, and if I want it to get done, I'll just do it myself. So it took a couple days to try to, you know, pin down a date and time. And I also reached out to Jeannie, who's Ty J's wife, and she's like, we only have like this amount of poles. Mm-hmm. So instead of us, everybody fucking rotating and people sitting out, it's like, why don't we just do a smaller group and then everybody can have like the full hour or however long experience. Sure. So we're doing that. So don't be offended if, you know, I didn't reach out to you or if you couldn't make it. I know some people wanted to go that couldn't. So, you know, if it goes well and people like it, which I'm sure we will, we'll probably be going around for round two and I'll probably bring a different set of chicks or, you know, if some people want to do it again. Well, we'll figure it out. We'll sort it out. So just don't be upset. Don't be offended. But if you are somewhat interested, you know, reach out to me at some point. So you're just like, hey, Anna, I just want to let you know that sounds kind of fun. I'd like to try it. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, yeah. So that's kind of what's going down. I'm a little nervous to try it, not because I'm nervous to try it, but it's like, it's going to be on camera. Mm. And I'm really feeling quite vulnerable because you guys know me as, and I know myself as someone who's never really spun around on a pole before. So me trying some stuff, looking dumb, is highly likely. But I think it's going to be great content if I'm good at it, and better content if I'm horrible at it.
Absolutely.
So we have to film it. And it's one of those weird things when you're in any sort of entertainment business where you're like, this is going to make me look bad, but it's going to be great content. So we'll do what we have to do to make sure that the people are happy.
It'll be fun.
That the will of the people are happy.
I'll be building explosives that day.
Yes. Yes, you will.
And I actually will.
Yeah. No, he really will. This is not a joke.
Yeah.
I did kind of want to end on this. I got an interesting text message from a friend yesterday. A girlfriend, by the way. And she sent me something. It was a tweet that she saw that she, you know, we often open the floor for discussions about things that are often uncomfortable to be had with anybody else. So you can't really have this sort of conversation with in polite society. And I like that I have very few people like that in my life where I can truly speak honestly and tell them how I feel about things, even if it's an uncomfortable truth oftentimes. So this is from my friend, and she just sent me this tweet. She goes, quote, "Give me a current event that is dooming our nation, and I'll tell you how the 19th Amendment made it possible." And she then writes, the 19th Amendment gave women the right to vote, by the way. Mm-hmm. And this is coming from a woman, by the way.
Yeah, gross.
Right. She goes, "It's a hot take, and I think women should vote, but I also don't disagree." And I went, huh, interesting. You know, and she's a woman, so it's not like she's trying to tell me that women shouldn't vote, whatever. And when I started to think about it, I'm like, huh, is it really the case that with women voting, things have been worse? It's not something that you can really discuss in polite society. And anybody who is even a centrist would want to shut that shit down. You can't even discuss it. You can't even talk about it. It's taboo. It's much like the bell curve, where you can't even start asking questions when it comes to the intersection between race and intelligence. Like, we can't even investigate it because it's racist. Like, it's kind of like in that category of stuff, which is why I love talking about it, because it's like, it's spicy, it's taboo. And I started thinking about it. I'm like, man, is that true? Do you think things are worse that the women can vote? And again, I'm sure there's plenty of people in chat be like, yeah, women are fucking stupid, stay in the kitchen. Understood.
How did you know what I was thinking?
Right, understood. But if we can try, you know, even just as a, I know we like to talk about fun things, but if we can just try to get in a more reflective state of mind.
To be honest, I don't think that's the case. I would, I don't like the promotion of everybody should go vote. Even if you don't know what you're voting for, just go vote. You're a citizen, go vote. No, you should know what you're voting for.
Yeah, I agree, but also kind of like how you feel about guns, where you're like, you don't have to have training. It's a right.
Oh, no. They have the right to do it. Yeah. I'm not taking that. I'm just saying should.
Yeah.
You should know what you're doing to go vote, because you're messing things up.
And you should be, you know.
I'm okay with legally they're like, absolutely they're legally allowed to, right. And I wouldn't stop that.
Sure, yeah.
Should they?
Yeah, you're like, should you be trained in firearms? You should.
Yeah.
It's a good idea. Do you have to own a gun? You're saying no. Okay.
Right.
Same deal here. And it opened up an interesting conversation with my friend, again, who is a woman. So mm-hmm. This isn't coming from a guy. And I go, I don't know if you can really break it down that way and just say, you know, things are worse now because women are voting. And I even went to say, as far to say, listen, even if it's true, even if it's true that the fact that we have opened up the polls to women, even if that's true, I'm okay with things being worse because I prioritize liberty and freedom over everything else. So, again, these are just like the tenets I live by. I would prefer a more chaotic society where people had more freedoms versus one that was more orderly and maybe even safer with less freedoms. Because I always feel like with less freedoms, even if it's safe for a while, I always feel like it's going to turn around, because then someone's going to gain too much power.
Yeah, it's way easier and it will happen quicker.
It will happen quicker, and especially because if you have less freedoms, this is usually just kind of how the flow chart goes. Mm-hmm. You have some sort of democracy, then you have like some sort of a dictator or someone who has too much power, someone like Xi Jinping, that then turns into someone like Mao Zedong. And then what happens is you have like a one-party state, which you do now in China, but, you know, it gets to the point where it's like as bad as Mao Zedong. And then what happens is that really makes a society ripe for a revolution. So when you have this two-party system, the reason why it's so, quote, stable, but feels unstable because it's like Republicans, Democrats. Well, the power shift just kind of goes like this. Mm-hmm. Instead of all the power being apexed and then just a complete revolution where everything gets demolished. Look at Russia. Look at the 1917 revolution, where the Romanovs, after 300 years of rule, they were, you know, I wouldn't say they were a royal family, but like, you know, Nicholas II was the last like king or czar, which is essentially a dictator. And the people were fucking sick of it. And then you have a revolution with the Bolsheviks in 1917. And that's when communism is born in Russia. And things have not really been great since then.
Right.
Not that things were so great before communism either, but nevertheless, what happens is, like, when you have one person with a lot of power and there's not really like an oscillation of power, that's when things become open and vulnerable to a revolution, which can cause a lot of chaos. And not saying that all revolutions are bad. Some revolutions need to happen, like the American Revolution, but it's going to cause a lot of chaos to lead to order, that leads to more chaos, that leads to order, so that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I told my friend, I said, listen, I prioritize freedom over all else, liberty over all else. I'd rather live in a, quote, like, less safe society if I know that I have freedoms to do what I want with my own life, which I only, in my estimation, have one. So I would like as few restrictions as possible on myself to live the life that I want to live, and I want that freedom for everybody else. And with that said, I'm okay with things being worse as long as it's the will of the people, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
Like when Fetterman, for example, when I was like, I cannot believe that they had a guy who was stroking out on stage and he was able to secure the vote and become a senator, right? Not a congressman. Not a representative, but a senator. Mm-hmm. So that's wielding a lot of power. I was like, I cannot believe that happened. But also, if that's what the people wanted, then that's what the people of Pennsylvania are going to get. And I'm glad he's in. Good for them, because that's what they wanted.
I agree.
I don't think it's a good idea. And I think you're dumb for voting for the guy because half of his brain is missing. But if that's what the will of the people is, then so be it. That's how I feel. So I think that's kind of how I rationalize it. If it's worse because this demographic, whether it be old people, young people, women, men, black, white, whatever the case may be, if you're like, man, things are worse because these people are getting involved, even if they're fucking misinformed, even if it's, you know, you don't agree with their politics, as long as it's the will of the people, then they're getting what they want, even if it's not serving them well, in my estimation, I'm weirdly okay with that, or more okay with that, I should say. Is that fair? Is that fair to say? Is that a hot take? I don't know. 813-90-BUBBA. I'm all about freedom, because I
me
think
too.
Yeah, and it's important for me to, and I think a lot of it kind of comes from this like nihilistic perspective I have on life, because I'm like, at the end of it all, I'm just gonna be a fucking bag of bones.
Mm-hmm.
So I got one fucking life, and I want to live it the way that I want to live it, with as few. I understand you have to have some rules. I'm not a complete anarchist. I understand that you can't just fucking, I'm gonna go drive on the wrong side of the road today, I'm gonna mow over some people,
mm-hmm,
without any consequences. Yeah, I get stuck into hell. Thank you so much, Mexicans. I understand that, you know, there has to be some regulations on what you can do, not really to restrict yourself, but to kind of, you need to restrict other people that want to infringe on your own rights. So everybody kind of has to have some restrictions. And I'm okay with that, because I'm living my own life with my freedom to the point, the boundary is where I start to infringe on somebody else's freedom, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like, I can go run and run and run, but if I just like want to run to someone's fucking house, like, I can't do that. Because they don't want that, and I'm infringing on their rights.
Sure.
So I'm cool with that. And I'm not an anarchist. Some people think that I am. I'm not a commie. I'm none of the above. I like liberty. I like freedom. And if things are worse because it's the will of the people, then so be it. Thank you guys for listening. Dad, I'll call you after the show. I'm glad you're alive and you didn't get fucking blown up by rockets. Makes my life a lot easier because, oh, by the way, my dad, do you want to, you know the talk my dad had with me before he left.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know where the folder's at.
Yeah. The updated 2023 folder of...
the folder of death?
What you get when I die. I mean, my dad, I mean, God bless him. And I'm not, I mean...
It's being responsible, but...
Yeah, I say that tongue in cheek, but... My dad has a folder that gets updated every year, and I get sent a copy of the paperwork every year. And it's not even like, I mean, in this folder of death, there's tabs. This motherfucker is not messing around at all. Well, there's tabs. And not only are there tabs, there's a table of contents at the beginning like a fucking book with chapters. Wow. And he goes, I'm not kidding. Step one, call this person. Get access to this account. Here's the password, whatever.
Okay.
Step two, contact this person. They're going to direct you to that person. You're going to get this account through my whatever that he has through his school. Death, fucking, I'm dead. Here's the money account. Step three, like he has it laid the fuck out.
Here's a question without getting into like the details. Is this something he did on his own or like did somebody help him with it? And I'm saying that as far as like tax implications.
He put it together on his own. He may have like asked about, you know, like how does someone access this account? And like he figured out all the information.
Right, because there's ways of doing, and I like, again, and I don't even know how, but like there's ways of transferring that stuff so that like you're not having to pay a shit ton of money because, you know, rather than transferring it this way, it was transferred this way. And
oh, I'm sure that the way that my dad has organized it will leave me with the maximum amount of money that could be left to me.
Okay. Well, that makes sense.
He's like, this amount of cash is hidden here. My dad has it all laid out to me. And then, you know, he'll make jokes about, you know, so there's an interest in my death. Don't try to kill me sort of a deal. I'm like, Dad,
one of those things, too. Like, it sucks, but, like, you know, when the time comes, blah, blah, blah. Like, the information like that is super helpful. Like,
yeah.
Because not knowing and not knowing what to do, like, that sucks.
I think my dad, and I could be wrong, I think he really got his shit together when he had a neighbor. This is such a sad story. He had a neighbor who was, like, a Marine, like, really tough guy. Strong, probably in his like 40s, like not old.
Okay.
And the guy got, I think it was colon cancer.
Mm.
Pretty sure. Or small intestine. I think it was colon cancer. But anyways, he watched this like muscle of a man deteriorate to like 110 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
I always say this word wrong, so forgive me, but colostomy. Colostomy bag.
Right, that's right.
Okay, I say it fast because I feel like I'm gonna lummy it up.
Okay,
it's colostomy.
I believe so.
Okay, colostomy bag. And he refused to get help. He refused to like had so much pride he wouldn't get. I don't think he got chemo, or when it stopped when it wasn't working or wasn't.
There's
he
a
just
point
said, fuck
where
it.
Yeah, there's a point where they just.
He didn't ask for help. Like he didn't ask anything. He never asked my dad. I think for anything at all. And it was, I think it was like one guy over cause my dad has a condo. So it was like one guy over and my dad would go and like visit him cause he was one of the few people that actually knew what the fuck was going on with him because he was there. And my dad, oh my, it's like, it's so sad. But I remember my dad telling me he had a dog. My dad had a dog before he had now the dog named Max.
Okay.
And Max was dying as well. Max was getting old and had, you know, I don't know if he had like what specific cancer, but polyps, you know how old dogs get. And his neighbor, whose name was Sean, came over one day and was like playing with the dog. And he's like, I wonder who's going to die first, buddy, you or me? Like my dad over here. Yeah. Over here. And like saying it almost like not in a, like he's trying to like make a joke almost. Like I think is what he was going for. It was like, oh, who's going to die first, buddy, you or me? So maybe I'm giving it more of a somber delivery. And it wasn't like that. But my dad was like, Jesus fucking Christ. Like. You know, that's some heavy shit. And so my dad was in the room with him when he died. Because his family, he didn't tell his family what the fuck was going on. So when his family, I think, was on the East Coast, I want to say Long Island, I don't know. And so it was my dad and maybe one other person and the doctor in the room with him. And the doctor, like, told Sean and my dad, like, you're not going to make it. You know, past 24 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So like fucking wrap your shit up. You know, tie up the loose ends because this is the end of the road for you. And so he passes and my dad was really kind of like the ringleader in terms of organizing all the shit, like waiting for the family to come. And he had like a disjointed family. So it was like hard getting a hold of everybody, like letting people know, hey, your son's dead. Like, holy shit. And my dad said he had nothing nothing organized for his daughter. And he had an ex-wife. And so, like, she's trying to get in on the money. The parents are trying to get in. The siblings are trying. There was no will. There was nothing. They didn't know. He didn't know where. My dad was like, it was such a fucking mess and disaster. He goes, and I think, and I could be getting the story wrong, and my dad will let me know, but I'm pretty sure after that, my dad's like, I'm leaving nothing to chance.
Well, good.
So he's like, I don't want that fucking mess where you're trying to, like, go to court. You know, you're trying to grieve for, you know, your dead family member or ex or whatever, father, son. And then you're, like, in battling in court proceedings. It's just like, fuck that shit. My dad's like, you're going to know where every dollar is going
to
go.
And the last memories of you having to scramble around because they didn't fucking tell you what was what.
Yeah. Who gets this Cadillac? Who gets that? It's like, my dad's got it fucking. It's pretty much like... It's pretty much all me. But, you know, I don't, I'm not a very, and I know everyone will, you know, contest me on this. I'm really not a materialistic person, like, at all. I mean.
That's what you say.
Right. I mean, I know you have to take me out to fancy dinners and stuff. And here's the thing about that.
You have to go to the taco place.
Yeah. Sometimes you do go to that really fancy taco shop called Taco Bell. I fucking love Taco Bell.
I do too.
Yeah, it's shit food, but it tastes good as fuck. Yeah. It is amazing.
Sorry.
No, you're good. I'm not a materialistic person.
No.
At all. And most of it's because, A, I wasn't raised that way. And B, I've been, like, quote, poor my entire adult life. Like, after my parents, like, let me go. And they've certainly helped me out through many things. But me as an adult trying to do things on my own, I've been, quote, poor the entire time. Because I've always chosen... career paths and made decisions where I was like, this is going to be a good experience. This is going to be fun versus I'm going to make a lot of money.
Yeah.
And I think that it, you know, that stems a lot from how you were raised and brought up. And I was never without as a child. So I know people that were, and they're very like security, money, plan, focus. Mm-hmm. I was poor as a kid. I'm never being poor again. Mm-hmm. When you come from a place of abundance, like I did, my parents weren't rich, but there was never a meal that was missed. I had all the, you know, my mom owned a dance studio, so I was able to do a lot of stuff for, like, free. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if I wanted to do soccer, I did soccer. Like, my parents were never like, we can't afford the uniform. Like, it was never like that.
I had that one time.
Okay, yeah. But for the most part, you're good.
I mean, yeah, I mean, everything else, it was always, all the needs were met.
Yeah.
Roof, good, you know, food. School supplies, like, never an issue. Mm-hmm. But, like, you know, if I had anything hobby wise that I wanted to do, my parents said, "Hey, no problem. You can have any that you want. You're buying it," which is like the way. Like, I'm fine with that. Like, that was good.
Yeah, yeah.
But there was a time I think it was Boy Scouts in like elementary school, and we went to the meeting, and they're like, "Yeah, the uniform's $200, and you got to buy all this stuff." My parents were like, "There's no fucking way I'm spending that kind of money."
Yeah. It may have been a little different if my mom didn't own the dance studio because, like, dance lessons are expensive and shit.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I had, you know, any competition I wanted to do, any costume I needed. My parents still had to pay for the costumes. You know, I did dance team in college. I did dance team in high school. I did soccer. I did T-ball. I did all the things, cross country, track and field. My parents never once were like, you can't do it because we don't have money for the outfit or the whatever. It was never an issue. So I think coming from that, where I was like, I'm not even worried about being poor because honestly, like, if I lost my job tomorrow and everything went to shit, I could move in with my dad and he could take care of me for, you know, essentially the rest of my life, especially what he's leaving to me. Like, it would be fine. He could take care of me. He could support us both. So knowing that I had that, like, security net in my head, you start making decisions based on, like, privilege, essentially. You're just like, I can, because, like, whatever, my parents will just help me out, and not that I want them to pay for everything, but I'm at least I have the ability to take a risk on myself, and not just do some, you know, and I'm not trying to talk bad on this at all, but, you know, some maybe a boring corporate job that I wouldn't want, but it's secure. So, yeah, I've been very, very fortunate to kind of do that. So anyways, I've just never really focused on material things. And I like new things, but I'm always down for a deal. I've never been about name brands. It never really made sense to me. I'm like, it's a functioning thing. If the purse holds your shit, it's a good purse. It doesn't need to be a Louis Vuitton. Like, I don't give a fuck about that. And I know this sounds kind of weird, but I watched this one Sam Harris video that just fucking, it changed, didn't change everything for me, but it really like solidified what I believed in, which was they did, he talked about this study that they did where they interviewed people on their deathbed.
Okay.
About things, about the regrets. And no one said, I wish I got the Louis bag. No one said, I wish I spent more time working. No one said, you know, I wish I was part of the cool kids, or I wish I would have gotten the new dress. Like, it was all about, I wish I would have spent more time with the people I cared about, mm-hmm. that I loved. I wish I would have paid more attention. I wish I would have been more present.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wish I would have not missed out on experiences. And I was so grateful that I ended up hearing about the study and hearing that video from Sam Harris, which it was only like a 6-minute video. Like, it wasn't mm-hmm. like some long lecture like that I saw in person. It was like just fucking on YouTube. And I'm like, holy shit, these people are on their deathbed and they're not thinking about all the things that like maybe a lot of us think about on a daily basis about what we think is important, about image, about the car that they should have got or the house they should have bought or the whatever. No one is thinking about that. On their last moments on earth, they're thinking about, man, I wish I would have spent more time with people I cared about, with people I loved. I wish I would have told people, you know, how I felt about them. I wish I would have spent more time with my kids. I wish I worked less. No one ever said, I wish I worked more.
Yeah, you never hear that.
I wish I would have been on Instagram more. Like, I wish I would have had more clout on Twitter. Like, no one says that shit. So I'm like, God, I'm so grateful that I've been gifted this information before I'm on my deathbed.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been kind of, ever since then, I'm like, this actually doesn't matter. Like, that happens a lot where I'm like, yeah, it doesn't matter if I don't even want the dress. Like, it's not going to, at the end of the day, it's just going to be a piece of clothing. Like, who fucking cares? So I think that's really helped me.
I didn't like the way
me.
It fit. I'm going to return it anyway.
Well, I didn't like the way it fit. And I wanted my money back. And honestly, it was not, I mean, it was my money, but it was like, you know, fun
yeah,
money.
Yeah.
That someone threw my way. But yeah. And with me in returning, I'm the queen of returning things.
Me too.
You are horrible at returning things.
I know, but in my mind, I'm always like, I'm going to return that. And then it
I'm
sits
like,
in the bag for a year.
You can, and I know this is flawed logic, but you can buy something with your own money, return it, get that money back. And now in my mind, I'm playing with house money.
Yeah, it's free money.
I'm like, I just fucking, Target just paid me $38.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go have some fun, because right. this isn't my money. This is Target's money.
Mm-hmm.
No, bitch. It's your fucking money that you got back because you impulse bought this stupid fucking dress for a brunch you didn't even know if you were going to go to.
Oh, yeah,
you didn't even know. I went to do not go to Target at night because you start thinking crazy thoughts. You're like, I may go to a brunch tomorrow. I may not.
You even knew go. Hold on. Because we talked before you went to the Target and you knew you were going to like go spend money.
Yeah, I had it in my mind, like, I'm like, I'm going to spend some
That's
fucking
fun.
Money.
That's fun sometimes, too.
Yeah, right? I had a $100 bill in my little console thing.
Oh, damn.
I'm like, I'm not going to use my credit card. This is what you got. Like, I was at the casino. I was like, Hootie at the casino. Well, not.
You were there
I wasn't,
every night?
I wasn't wasted oh. on pills. But it was one of those things where it's like, you got $100. Like, you can only spend this much. If you go over, you have to put something back. So I spent, like, $70. Mostly because I bought this fucking dress that I'm like, man, I've been eyeing this dress. I've been to Target a few times. It's been looking back at me. I'm like, I'm going to buy it. And I did. And then I tried it on and I was low-key very grateful. It looked like shit. I didn't even try it on there. I was like, I was bold. I was like, fuck this. Plus, the store was closing in like 7 minutes. So I had a rush. But then after said brunch, you were there. I was like, fuck, give me that dress. I need to return it.
Oh, I know.
On the way back from the brunch, I didn't even wait 24 fucking hours. I'm like, give me my money back right now. They're like, do you want store credit or cash? I'm like, cash,
who
idiot.
The fuck?
Who would get store credit?
Yeah, if the option is store credit or cash, who the fuck would take store credit?
Do you want money you can only spend here or money you could spend anywhere?
Right.
I don't know.
If the deal was you returned it late and they'll only give you store credit, fine.
Totally fine.
Yeah, but if you have the option, like anybody who would ever take store credit, it's like even if you plan on buying stuff that day, don't do store credit.
You don't do store credit. You never do store credit. That's so stupid.
It really is.
Idiot! So I'm like, I look at her, I'm like, I almost said, like, fucking art. Cash. immediately.
Because here's the thing, too. Imagine this. So you take store credit because you know you're spending $100 at Target right then. You go spend $100 at Target. You return that. Guess what? Now you can only get store credit back, and you cannot get cash back.
That's fucking return inception right there. Yeah, you got to break that cycle. And I paid in cash, so I want it back in cash.
Right.
Immediately, bitch. Give me my money, ho. And yeah, I don't even wait 30 days. I didn't even wait 30 hours. I'm like, I'm returning this right now. And nothing made me feel better. And then because I spent a bunch of money at brunch, so I'm like, oh, I just paid my... In my head, I'm like, I spent $0 at brunch because that's how your brain works.
You spent that $37 like 12 times already.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, dang, like I just spent like $35 at brunch and now I have $37 in my pocket. I just basically got brunch for free. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
Your brain works in mysterious ways where you're like, ah, fucking, ah, look at me. So, yeah, nothing makes me feel better than being on my shit. My dad, if he's listening, he may or may not, he may have tuned out. He's like, that's enough on it for now.
Mm-hmm.
But he would be very proud because I used to be, as a child and an adolescent, I was a classic procrastinator. And I'm proud to say that I beat it and I am on my shit at any given moment. Time, I know when your fucking birthday is, when your mom's birthday is. I was freaking people out yesterday. There was a girl I do jujitsu with at fucking 5:30 in the morning. I'm like, happy birthday. She's like, how the fuck do you know it's my birthday? I'm like, you told me last year. She's like, oh Christ.
What was it? Oh, it's Trump's birthday. Was it Trump's birthday the other day that you knew?
Yeah, that was pretty good.
Yeah,
I was like, I think I remember seeing it. And then we were talking about her birthday because she was at jujitsu yesterday, and there was another girl, and she said, you know, Maya's birthday's coming up. I'm like, I know. It's on the 19th. And she's like, how the fuck do you know my birthday? I'm like, because you told me. You understand when you tell me, it goes into the file cabinet. And I just, it may take me a second to go and find the file and pick it out and retrieve the information, but it's fucking there. Fucking there. Don't get it twisted. See you guys tonight at the game. We'll be there 6:30. At 6:30 for the first pitch. Who's going to throw the first pitch? Do we know?
I don't think anybody we know.
Okay.
But I'm not sure.
Well, I'll be drunk on Claws, so you can find me there.
You can still buy tickets if you want. TheBubArmory.com/tarpons.
Yes. Do it. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a nice night. Yep. It's not going to rain.
Free drinks.
Free drinks, free food once you buy the...
Once you pay for it.
Once you pay for the ticket.
Once you pay for it, it's
I know.
Free.
It's like...
But yeah.
It's free once you pay for the ticket, but for all you can eat and drink, $43.
Yeah, and I don't think they have to charge for parking either, so that's another savings.
Oh, yeah, that's
sometimes,
great.
You know, some of those places, $20, $30, $40 to park, and I believe it's free there.
Yeah, so you don't have to worry about that. So come hang out. We'll be there tonight. And thank you, Blitz, for everything you do.
Thank you.
Thank you guys for listening.
See
I know it was
tonight.
A long one. And, yeah, we'll see you tonight. Have a great weekend. Goodbye.